We've got a Bible reading today, and that would be from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. Now, maybe if I read it off there rather than here, you can follow at the same time. So let's do that then. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing." That's a tall order, isn't it? You will be a blessing. "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse." Stephen likes having the power. "And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Good job, I say. Over to you, Fred.
Hello. It's a bust. Good morning, church. Let me first of all thank Heather for leading us this morning. Thank you, Heather, and the worship team for such a wonderful, lovely time to worship God. It's always such a joy to stand before you and share with us the Word of God. It's so encouraging. It's so refreshing. It's lovely. And like Heather mentioned earlier, I went to the archives myself. I didn't know that you went to the archives with songs. I went to the archives and found Genesis chapter 12. And I thought I'd share with us about Genesis. But before we do, I want us to pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you because you can bring us together to have a joy, to have a laughter, to have a smile, and to encourage each other. And today, as we look at your message this morning, Father, I pray that this will be an encouragement to all of us in our journey of faith, in our relationship with you, Father. And today, I want to pray for those that are seeking to know you. I pray for those that are journeying with you, Father. I pray for those that are finding it hard to listen and to journey with you, Father. The Lord, you reveal yourself as you did to Abraham when he didn't even know. So today we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, let me say happy Father's Day to all of us, dads. But having said that, I'm also sensitive to the fact that some of us have had fathers in quotes that you don't want their memories to be remembered. And some of us don't even have a memory of a father. For me particularly, I was raised by both my mom and my dad. But when it comes to my father, I have so much mixed memories. Because on one side, I have a father that was never there for us. But also had a father who loved God and he wanted to do his best for God. So as a child growing up, everything at school, people, teachers, my fellow students, they only knew my mom because every meeting, school activity, is my mom who used to show up. I can't even remember a single day that my dad showed up at school for any event or any function or any meeting. That's a bad memory that I have about my father. But I'm here to encourage us that I still loved him as a father. And I still served him as a dad. and cared for him in his old age when he passed on about 20 years ago. My wife, on the other hand, has no memory of her father because she never saw her father, true or false. So she doesn't have any memory. So when you talk about Happy Father's Day, she doesn't have a memory of her father. But she had a chance when we got married to experience for the first time a father from the other side. And it was different for her, very different. And because my dad wanted to make up so many years that he messed up as a father, on many occasions, when I was an older person, even in my late teenagehood, my dad would clean for us cloth, iron for us, cook for us sometimes, because he looked back some of the chances that he missed that to look after us that he never did. And some of the memories I remember about my father used to be when he used to be off on Sunday, so he'd go to church or hang up with friends. But he'd always, on Saturday night, his suit or whatever he's wearing on Sunday morning, he's ready by Sunday night. In other words, when he wakes up on Sunday, he's off. And the earliest he'll come home is probably 9 p.m. or 10 p.m. in the house. Oops, my things are falling off. So I want to encourage us today that as we think about Father's Day, like I said, for some of us, we have mixed memories. For some of us, we don't have memories at all. And for some of us, you have good memories. So when you think about your father's legacy, what memories come to your mind? But also the question I'm asking us today, including myself, that what legacy would you like to leave when your time comes? What legacy are you leaving for your children? What memories will they hold on as they grow up, if they have not grown up? And if you did, because Abraham was 75 years old, and you're going to look at that story in a few minutes. As we looked earlier, the Lord has said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I'll show you, that I'll make you into a great nation, I'll bless you, I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And like I mentioned earlier, some fathers are never blessing. Some of the fathers in the society are not a blessing to us. And I'm praying for myself, and I know one of my young men is here. I pray that I want to be a blessing to these young people. I don't want to be in a place where when I'm dying, then I'm asking for my children to come around so that I can lay my hands on them and forgive them and release them. My mother loved my pastoral ministry, and she served for the rest of her life in church. And one day we had this lady. She was about 90 years old. She's been sick for a number of years. She was palliative. She couldn't walk. She was sick, waiting to die. And she asked my mother to go and pray. She requested for my mom to go and pray for her so that she can die. And as my mom was praying for this old lady, my mother looked at her eyes And my mom told her that there's something that you need to do before you leave. I want you to think that that particular one thing that you have to do before you go. And she started crying. And she told my mom that my grandson has been stealing my money and going to use it for drinking. And I've cursed my grandson. He'll never be a real man for stealing my money, an old lady like myself. But because you've asked me today, I'm choosing to forgive my grandson so that I can free. And when she called that young man and prayed for that young man, she died. But the grandson never survived. After a few years down the line, the grandson was killed by drugs and alcohol. What am I saying today? That God is calling us as parents, as grandparents, to bless our children, to be there to encourage them, to leave them a legacy that can they live through and as grow as young and as grow older. So my question today, did you know that Abraham's ancestors, including his dad, Terah, and his brother, worshipped other gods or idols? Did you know that the legacy that his generation had was a generation of idols? And when I talk about legacy today, I want us to think about the legacy about property, money, legacy about a good name in society. Those are good things. But I want us to go back to Genesis, where God created Adam and Eve and put them in this garden. Because God's desire wanted to leave a legacy that can go for centuries and years and years. But unfortunately, Adam and Eve messed it up and were kicked out of it. We look at Genesis. Noah came up with the ark. It's a good idea. Good legacy. But it never went far. If you look at Genesis, the others who came up with the Tower of Babel, that was the legacy. They wanted to build something that can reach to heaven so that we don't have to struggle to talk to God. They had a vision of building something that can touch God. It's a good idea, but they never made it. But God looks at this 75 years old man by the name Abraham. And tells him, I want you to leave your home and everything in that family. I want to show you something different. I thought about people like Gideon. The Gideon had to tear down his father's altar or barrel. His father's legacy. Things that father adored and worshipped and had in the community made a sort of impact in the community. But Gideon had to tear them down to begin afresh. What is it today that God is calling you to tear down so that his name can be lifted up? What are some of the altars that God is saying, I want you to move those altars for my legacy, to move forward, destroy those things for my sake, those are my legacy can move on. For some of us, you know, we're so blessed. Sometimes we make jokes with my wife. We say some of us, we run marathon because we started our life from zero and we had to run 42 kilometers to even get where we are. And some people are so lucky. They just run 100 meters and they have everything with them. You woke up, your father had this real estate, this inheritance assigned to you in the bank, though this number of cars in the facility and these homes, and you just wake up and everything there for you. It's a blessing in a different way. But I want to remind us, those things can also become idols that can come between you and God, that can destroy your legacy, the legacy that the father wants and the legacy your father wants here. Because you can be working so hard to keep this legacy, but God's legacy is being destroyed. From what you say in the Bible, God separated Abraham. Of course, it was Abraham then from his idolatrous kind of life and family so that he can make him and his descendants what he wanted them to be. I don't know many of us can identify with Abraham, a person that has grown up in a family that they worshipped idols, lived in a place where idols were worshipped, had no proper legacy, a God legacy. They had everything else, but God legacy was missing. And today we say, I can't even hear what God is saying. I can't even understand what God is saying. That God, if you are there, talk to me. And God is looking at us, is wondering, when did I even disappear? Where did I go? This guy, his legacy from the parents was not Christianity. But he listens what God is saying. He understood what God was saying. And he made a decision. Go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land that I'll show you. There are a number of these things that we've read in this scripture that I want to highlight briefly that God promised Abraham at that time. He said that I'll make you into a great nation. That Abraham was designated as the fathers of all who walk God's pathways of faith. And you can check. We know Abraham not because of his money. We know Abraham not because of the cars he owned, not because of the land that he owned, not because he was the best of the best kings or kings. We know Abraham because of the faith he took. And you know why that faith was so important? Like I've told you, because of his heritage. His culture was not Christianity. But he took a step of faith to trust Jesus, to trust God, his message, and not just to trust, but to take action and step out to the promised land, to the land that God wanted him to be. He left his people out. He tried even to walk with his father, but his father died. But Abraham never gave up on God. He made a choice. So therefore, Abraham is God's revealed example of his plan to eventually reestablish his kingdom rule in all the earth through the people of his covenant. A man who came from a generation of idols. People that had a legacy that never honored God. But God wants him to begin a legacy that honors him and fulfills his purpose and his promises in this world. But friend, today it's not too late for you and I. It's not too late. Your legacy can start today. If Abraham did it from at 75, you can still do it. I can still do it. They live the legacy that God wants us to live as a father. He says, I'll bless you. That God is expecting us to be obedient and honest with him. God was ready to bless Abraham because Abraham was ready to obey God. So he had to leave everything behind in order to be blessed. You know, sometimes we talk about blessing like it's something I can just pronounce it for you. I'm not sure about the culture here. But in Africa, we take blessings very seriously. Very seriously. When I proposed and I wanted to marry, I had to get the parents' blessing. I would have chosen and would have said, we are adults, we are over 18 years old. The Lord does not even require us to talk to you as parents. We don't have to. And went to do the wedding. But I had to go to the parents and ask for the blessing. And you know, the parents are so very, very tricky. The first time I went, they pretend that they've never seen you. They pretend they've never seen you. They've never heard about you. They ask you, so what are you here about? What is it that you're looking for? Who are you? So, you know, they ask you very weird questions. And as a young man, you're so scared, shy. And they ask you not to talk to them as a young man. They ask you to appoint a spokesperson. So I had to get a spokesperson who's older. They say they don't talk to children. So at that time, they're saying you're a child, you don't talk to children. And you meet them, they have these older grandparents, aunties, the community is seated, they're waiting for you. And they say, we don't talk to kids. So I had to get somebody that is a bit older, as my spokesperson, go and convince them that I brought the young man by the name Fred. Tell us about Fred. Who is he? What does he do? And then he has to give the whole story again about Fred. What does he want? So what I'm saying is this. It's not just walking on the road and saying, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. This is a different kind of blessing. It's very different. Steve? And the last thing I want to share about Abraham is, I'll make your name great. In this passage, God promises to make Abraham great. And God did bless Abraham and in many ways, including material blessings. I mean, money can make us great. Money can change somebody's face. I mean, if you give me money today, I'll be a very different person. You know, just the fact that having a GST or a nice car, having certain clothes, having certain home, it just changes your life. Things can make you great. The car you drive, the money, where you eat can make you great. You know the places some of these guys don't eat from. The place you hang around, the people you hang around with. But the greatness of God is different. You can be great here and own the best homes in this world. But a day comes when you only live with one suit, if you get one. You know, the people who bury you, they make the choice. They can choose you to bury in a suit or not even a suit. You don't carry the money. You don't carry the home. You don't even carry the PhD. And thank God for some of us who own PhDs, you don't even carry it with you. And you go down there and wait for destiny. But the greatness God gives us, the greatness about the kingdom, that when you walk there, he says, welcome and faithful servant. Because you've been faithful, you've been doing that. You say like Paul, that I've run the good race, that I've finished faithfully. I pray that God will help us as Christians, as parents, to run the good race. Not only here in this generation as a parent, but also in heaven. That you can stand before God and say, you know what, I've run a good race. Let's not wait when you die and then people print there that you've run a good race. How do they know that you ran a good race? That, oh, we are announcing to the glory of glories, so and so. And you're not even in the glory of glories. Others tell you, rest in peace. Where in peace are you going to rest if you never made up down here? You never made up with God. There'd be no peace for you. Unless if there's peace in hell, I'm not sure about that. Because I've not read it that there'll be peace in hell. We can also see that in Genesis 24:35, where Abraham's servant reports that the Lord had blessed the master with a lot of stuff. I've talked about material things. My message today is that greatness is more than material blessings. Greatness is bigger. Compassion Australia was here a few weeks ago, and they said they're raising money for kids in Africa. And for sure, some of those children, they live in some of the horrible, horrible places. But sometimes when you just add a bit of that $50, they get a bit of shoes and change a little bit of their lifestyle. They look great. They look so nice. But that's different. So my question today is that what can we learn from Abraham? What can I and you learn from Abraham today? You know, you cannot inherit what you don't know. That's why people sometimes they make the will so secretive. Secretly they write the will and hide it somewhere. So if you're thinking of inheriting something and you don't know, you can't inherit. You know, 5 years ago in Kerang here actually, I got a phone call from Townsville City Council. And we make jokes about it. If I was a bad person, I would have gone for it. And Townsville City Council, they rang me. They said, Fred, there's a home for you in Townsville. And they sent me an email first, and I ignored it. And then they rang. They said, there's a home for you. I said, I've never owned a home there. We've always... They said, no, there's a home for you. So I ignored. I thought, this is just a fake thing. It's a fake message. Then I rang the council now myself to confirm, actually, this is the council that I'm ringing. And the person I spoke says, let me check in the system. It shows that you have a home, but it doesn't show how you got the home. And she told me, go and talk to your lawyers and see whether somebody left for you a will somewhere that you own this home. And I said, because in my consciousness, in my mind, I don't have anything. I don't want anything to do with that home. I said, are you sure? I said, yeah. He said, if you don't want, it's okay. But one day we went to Townsville, when was that? 2022. We just, for the sake of just doubt, because we said we don't need it. We said, let's just drive to see where this home is, even though we didn't. So we drove here till we found there's a real house, but we don't know who owns the house. Yeah? Yeah, it was a beach house. It was on the beach. And the house was there. It was a real house, but we didn't know who owns it. But we said, because we don't know about that will, and we don't know who actually wrote for us, we said not to go for it. So we said, it's okay, thank you for calling us, but we don't know who wrote it. We don't know. So what I'm saying is, you cannot inherit what you don't know. It's not possible. Abraham knew that exactly what the legacy was about. He knew. That the legacy was about God's kingdom and his business. He knew the legacy, the father's legacy, was about his kingdom and his business. And that's when the father asked him, leave everything. Leave in your family and go to the place I'm sending you. There was no doubt in his mind. There was no objection, because he knew that the Father has always the best dreams for us. Friends, we can spend so much time, we can spend so much money fighting in the courts, fighting for your father's here will in the court, chasing things here, but the real legacy, the real things that we can chase, they're up there. They're with God the Father. These are material things. So one day they'll be there. That farm that you've been fighting about, let it go. God will give you something for yourself. I saw Abraham and his nephew. his nephew. Quarreling about animals and who should have we where. Excuse me. Abraham said, you know what, choose where you want to go. I'll choose the worst part of it. You choose the fertile. Because he knew it's not about the material things. It's about the heavenly things. That you can have the most fertile. You can have the most places. It's okay. But I know that what God has for me is better. And that's when God told him to go from your country, from your people. He went. In Genesis 25, Abraham left everything he owned to Isaac, because Isaac was walking his father's footsteps. Jacob and his brother Esau were wrestling for what they did not understand. How many of us have read about the story of Jacob and Esau? They wrestled in the tummy, the mother's tummy. They wrestled when they were playing together. They wrestled in the who should have what. Eventually, Jacob got his way by reaching to the father first. And the father blessed him and told him, you can have everything. But what happens next is that, but while Jacob was on the run, he encountered God. You know, sometimes the things we wrestle because we've not encountered the genuine and true Father and the true legacy, the true inheritance that God is telling us. That yes, the Jacob was blessed by Isaac. But he left everything that Isaac offered him and is on the run. He's looking for safety. But while on the run, he encounters God. But God says, you know what? Who are you? Who are you? You remember with the father, he lied that I'm who? I'm Esau. But when you encounter the true Father, the truth, you cannot lie. He said, I am Jacob. And God told him, because you've said that. No, Jacob begs for blessing. And God blesses him. And gives him the true blessing. And gives him the genuine blessing that he desired. I can go on and go on. But just remember, we have a Father that cares for you and I. That has a genuine inheritance. His legacy can never be questioned. His legacy cannot be challenged in a court of law like the ones we have here. I want to encourage us to think like Jacob. That maybe sometime as you seek him, as you find the truth, that God will reveal himself to you. Because Jacob asked him, who are you? Who are you? Because you're seeking something special. And many of us are like Abraham today. Abraham was not born in a Christian family, according to Joshua. You can look at Joshua chapter 3:24-3. But Abraham's ancestors, including Terah and his father now. And you can see where they lived. Those are places where no Christianity at all, and even they never worshiped the real God. But Abraham learned to listen to God even in the midst of all these gods. Even in the midst of the gods. In the midst of all these confusions, in the midst of all these dramas that he grew up with, he told himself, he disciplined himself, he learned himself to listen to God. They never had the Bible like you and I. They never had a church to attend. They never had fellowship like this to go to. They never had a crusade to go, that there's this apostle who is talking about the God's presence. They never had this seminar to attend that God is, they can feel the presence of God. They never had this musical extravagance to feel the presence of God. He never went to those meetings. But still, Abraham listened to God. He knew exactly what God wanted him to do, and he did it. That's why he's a man of faith. That's why he's a father of faith for a generation. That if there's any legacy that you can want you to leave to your children, is a faith that is drawing from Abraham, that you can live and pray for your children and pray for your grandchildren. That God help us to have faith like Abraham, so that when we go, that legacy can continue to generations. That legacy can transform lives. That legacy can change people in this world. Apostle Paul says that for since the creation of the world, that God has invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. There's no excuse for us. Paul is quoting Psalm. He's saying, you know what? This can declare who he is. We don't need more evidence. You can walk and see nature. You can see the clouds. You can see how things come together to reveal his presence, to reveal that there's something happening. Steve? So as I finish today, thanks, Steve. What I'm saying today, and Paul is telling us through this message, and Paul told Timothy, if you read 2 Timothy 2:2, he's telling Timothy, and the things you've heard me speak in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to other younger people. That's the legacy Paul is leaving to the younger people. Maybe today, you're here, and the memories of your father is mixed like I. Or today you walked here, and you've never had the memory of your father like my wife here. You never had the memories of your father. Or you're here today and you feel like your legacy has been challenged in many ways. Your legacy has been compromised in many ways. And today you are saying it's not too late. I want to be like Abraham and start afresh. You still have a chance. And for the young people, you have the whole world around you for young people. Israel alone had close to 42 kings in Israel. 42 kings. And out of these 42, the Bible says about 12 of them actually worshipped God. They followed God and lived for them out of the 42. The rest of these kings, if you read at the end of their kingdom or reign, it says that, and they did so much evil in the eyes of God that God did something. Because their legacy was so evil, they inherited a kingdom, they left a bad legacy that God had to punish them. I pray today as parents today that God will not punish the next generation because of our evil and ignorance and lack of knowledge and understanding. Let me invite Hev to come back and lead us in the next song. But as she comes back, I want you to just think about your life. If you're able to stand, just stand for a minute. If you can stand. If you can't stand, it's okay. You can sit. I want to pray for you this morning. And if you've never made a decision to follow Christ today, I want you to think about it. What legacy do you want to see? Maybe you've never made a decision to live in this inheritance, to live in this legacy. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for who you are, Lord. And today, as we think about fathers, we know you are our Father. That the plans you had for us since the beginning have never changed. Plans to prosper us. Plans to get us to be your children. Plans to make us your family. And I pray, God, may you help us to leave that legacy for the tomorrow's generation. I pray for those that are struggling even to know you today. Father, may you help them. May you help us together as a family. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.